welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover Classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's awesome to be in the house of God this morning. Turn to somebody next to you and say, hello, family. We'd like to welcome our live stream family, and we're so excited to celebrate Jesus. No matter what's going on in our situation or our circumstance, there is no sweeter place to be than in the house of God. Day after day after day, it's always better and better. So we have some wonderful opportunities for you to get involved and to participate with the kingdom of God. And one of the opportunities that we have for you is a connect room. If you are new or you're looking to get more connected, then directly after the services, we would like to invite you to come over to this side of the building, get to know some of our staff, our leaders, our pastors. We love to build relationship with you. So you can just walk right around through the foyer down this side of the building and enjoy some refreshments and some time getting to know new people in the Connect Room directly after service. Also, we have Discover Weekend. This is an opportunity for you to find all of the greatness that God has available to you through an intimate weekend with the Spirit of God. If you are looking to grow, to develop your relationship with Him, to find a new level of freedom, then you want to participate March 5th and 6th in this life-changing encounter. It will allow you to start walking in the new freedom that God has for you. You can register out in the foyer at the Welcome Center for that. Also, water baptism. This is happening March 14th. Can we get an amen for water baptism? Now, I grew up in a church where water baptism was considered just a public proclamation of the fact that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I'm excited to tell you that it is so much more than that. Water baptism is a supernatural encounter with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. It's the washing away of brokenheartedness and soul ties and bondages and addictions and sickness. And it's such a great opportunity for you to step into the fullness that God has for you in new and greater power. So if you have never been water baptized, or maybe you got baptized like I had gotten baptized so many years ago, I would encourage you to participate with the water baptism March 14th. Again, if you're interested in that, sign up at the Welcome Center in the foyer. Lastly, Easter, it's right around the corner. Can you believe it? I don't know about you. I'm really excited. When April shows up, I feel like we're in the home stretch where we really might get some sun and heat, right? And so you have an opportunity to invest in the people, the children of His Tabernacle, by donating candy. And you can bring that into the foyer any Sunday morning or when you're here for classes throughout the week. You can do that up to April 1st. So if you're out at the store and you see some candy that, you know, looks pretty fun, grab it and donate it for the kids. We want to make sure that in this season that we are really focused on reaching out to our community at a time where so many people feel isolated and alone. And we're the church. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. What an opportunity to share the sweetness of God. You know, the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Amen. We can do that through some candy for the kids at Easter. So we have so many opportunities for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and to be a blessing to our Lord and Savior. If you are a visitor in the house this morning, we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, we would love to meet you. So after services, just feel free to join us in our Connect room. I would like to introduce now our senior pastors, Pastor Michael and Pastor Rhonda Spencer. They're awesome. Please stand.
No, I didn't. Good morning, everybody. I have issues. Here's my basic issues. I think my pants are too tight.
Uh-oh.
Watch, you know what that means. I have to keep going like this.
Uh-oh. Diet time. We didn't plan on matching either, but it just happened. Wow.
Did she just say that? Did she say I was fat?
No, you are the one that said.
She did say that. But let's be honest, I can't even button my jacket.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Thank God you're our family. Praise God. I'm excited about you. I don't know about you. I'm excited about today's message. You don't know what it is yet. But I know you're going to walk away blessed. And we have a sad moment in front of us as we're going to be praying for and saying goodbye to see you later to our family. The Girardis are going to be moving to South Carolina. Oh. Listen, don't be haters because you all want to go too. Anything to get out of New York. We understand. But today I'm excited because Jesus is, I've been talking to Jesus all morning. We're going to have a great time. So you need to know that God loves you this morning, that God has a plan for you this morning, and that God wants to touch you this morning. Now, some people who are fresh, they don't know, what do you mean, God touch me? What I want you to do is, as we begin to worship, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, will you touch me today? Will you let me feel your presence today? I want God to tangibly touch, change, challenge, and move us all forward in the things of God, amen? Because God is not dead. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And Jesus is here today. And if you're watching online right in your living room, you can do the exact same thing. And maybe you're in a hospital room or maybe you're at, I don't know. Some people have said that they watch it at their jobs even. Wherever you are, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to touch you right where you are because Jesus loves you, specifically you. Turn to someone and say, he's talking about you.
He's talking about you.
That's right. Talking about you. Jesus loves you. Amen. You are important to God. Amen?
Amen.
My dear, why don't you pray?
Amen. Father, we just love you so much. We're so thankful that we get to come into your presence. God, that you dwell inside of us. Lord, let our worship just bless your name this morning. Let it glorify and magnify you. We love you, Jesus, and we know in your presence,
hallelujah,
everything changes. Everything changes. We put our everything faith, changes, our hope, our trust, our confidence completely in,
yes,
you. We know that you are shifting and changing things in the atmosphere,
yes,
as we're in your presence, Lord. It is literally,
hallelujah,
shifting and changing. There is a changing in the atmosphere. There is a,
hallelujah,
breaking in the atmosphere. In your presence,
your
all that,
God,
we need, Lord, everything that we need,
yes,
health, healing, freedom, restoration, peace, joy, love. God, everything that we need. You said that I am.
Yes.
You are the I am. So whatever it is,
yes,
we have need of this morning, your response,
yes,
is,
I am.
We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
We worship you in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Just before we worship, I want to remind you that second service, we're now offering what's called the Red Zone. There are folks that have not been back to church in 11 months. And so we're creating a zone in the back on second service for folks that are COVID concerned. They'll have to wear masks during the whole thing. We're going to ask you not to approach them. They'll be the first ones to leave. And so if that's, if you know somebody who hasn't been back, you can let them know that that's available for them. Amen.
Are you ready to lift up the Lord this morning? Hallelujah.
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up for all
single day. We shout hallelujah. Say we come to celebrate. Come to give you all the praise. Every single day. We shout hallelujah. Say we come to celebrate. Come to give you everything. Every single day. We shout hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord.
lifting you up. Thank him for being there every step of the way, Lord.
Yes.
We lift you up, Jesus.
Working, you never stop, you never stop working. And even when I don't
everybody, just begin to make this praise personal right now between you and God. If you've got a history with your God, if he's healed you in a way that nobody else could heal you, if he's touched your spirit in a way where no one else could touch you, just start praising him for that out loud right now. Lord, you've made a way for me where there was no way, Lord. You visited me in the middle of the night when I felt lonely, Lord. You touched my body where no doctor could touch, Lord. You provided for me when I didn't have a way, Lord. You took me out of my family's history and you made my history new. And I thank you, Jesus. We're so grateful this morning. I wasn't lucky. I was blessed. That wasn't a close call. That was God's hand on my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, if he's your way maker this morning, then just sing it up.
I give myself to you. give myself away. Every part,
I give myself away.
So you can use me. I give myself away. Give it all, give it all.
I give myself away. So
I just wanna be.
I give myself to you.
You see, when you give yourself to Jesus, things change in your life. I have a puppy. Puppies are pains. The other morning, I took her out to the bathroom at 4 a.m., unhappy. She went back to sleep. I didn't. I was walking around, seeking the Lord in the man cave, and she all of a sudden erupted into the door. She had been done with my wife, I guess, snuggling and sleeping. Now she was upstairs again. She said, I got to go to the bathroom. So I took her out to the bathroom again. We have a bell on the door. She rings the bell if she's got to go to the bathroom. And so it came to the place where she rang it again after I took her out. I says, you better go. Took her out. She didn't go. She wanted a piece of ice. I brought her back in. She looked at me. She rang the bell. And I says, oh, you're going out. And I have a long tether, about a 20-foot tether out on a tree. And I took her out and I tied her to that tether. And I walked away. And I looked at my watch. I'll come get her in 15 minutes. And so she's spoiled. And so I'm inside and she's out. Out our window where the dining room is, there's windows all the way around it. And she's running back and forth at the top of her line. Screaming, barking. And I said, And I just kept peeking out to make sure she was okay. And the Holy Spirit said, sit. The Holy Spirit said, that's what God does to you. You don't always see him. And you seem to be running on a tether back and forth, crying and screaming sometimes, not understanding what's going on. Why am I outdoors? Why is it cold? Why are all these things happening? And he said, you don't see me, but I've not taken my eyes off of you. Just like I kept looking at that puppy. Just kept looking through those windows. Dog never knew I was there. Some of you, you're wondering about your life, and you need to know something. You're more important than any dog. I just offended all dog people. You're more important than the bird. God cares for you. He's not taking his eyes off of you. And even though you can't always see him working, you don't always feel him working. He's still watching you through that window. And listen, if she got snagged, I'd been right there. She wouldn't even have known that I knew. Sometimes you wonder, does God even know? He's watching you. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. And so, even the little rat dog served a purpose for the kingdom today. Amen. Now, if we would actually become obedient, like the dog is, we'll move on from there. I just thought that was really good. I hope you don't mind I shared that, did you? Heel. Sit. Sit. Here you go. Go rat dog. I've only ever had big dogs. This is considered a rat dog. No, really, she's tiny compared to what my dog's head. My past dog's head is the size of the whole dog. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You don't mind if I shared that with you? I just really felt that was important. And you know, for me that morning, you know, sometimes we're waiting for Jesus to show up in bunny shoes in our life. We're waiting for God to echo, "I'm over here." Some of us are waiting for God's audible voice. But God, many times, most of the time, will speak through us and to us through the things that are around us. And many times have found the natural things will help us understand or parallel the supernatural things. And so even that morning, you know, I wasn't going through a difficult time, but that morning, just looking out there and having the Holy Spirit say that to me, it just brought a peace to know that no matter what I'm going through, He's right there. Amen. Can you tell somebody next to you, He's never abandoned you once. Not even once. You need to know that. You need to know that God is not just up in heaven marionetting. God literally loves you and cares for you. He has a plan for you. And in that, we've got to embrace that plan. We've got to trust Him. Trust is synonymous with the word faith. I was sharing, Bishop said, I was sharing this when we were up in Ithaca. Bishop, many years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, we were out to eat, and he looked at me and he says, "What's the message that you have? What is that one message?" He said, "Every preacher has one message. You know, the bishop's message is seed. It doesn't matter. He can preach on salvation. He can preach on shoehorns. And it doesn't matter what he preaches on, it's going to come back to seed. Because that's the message that's really always burning in his spirit." And I had to question myself. And my wife and I were talking, and she said, "Your message is always faith." And really, if you look at my whole life and what I preach, it's always about faith. But you see, I'm not preaching about faith in faith. I'm preaching about faith or trust in God. And that cannot come, as you heard last week with my wife preaching, that does not come through a religious experience or a religious place. This comes from a relationship with a living God. And I challenge you to know your God. Our verse at His Tabernacle Family Church is this: "And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom He has sent." You see, eternal life is not getting to heaven. You're all eternal already. Everybody on this planet is eternal. Every human is eternal on this planet. It's not that we're not eternal, but what God's passion is not that you get to know Him when you get to heaven, but that you get to know Him right now. I'm talking not know about Him, but know Him. And in that, faith is always raised. And I just encourage you to walk by faith and not by, come on now, walk by faith and not by. We lost a general in the faith just 2 weeks ago. Dr. Fred Price went home to be with Jesus. What a phenomenal man of God. If you've never watched him, I'm not talking his son, I'm talking the father. If you watch the father, what a great man of faith, and he taught faith. I'd encourage you to go back and watch a series on YouTube. Everybody shout YouTube. on YouTube. It's called Faith. You could type in Dr. I was just lost his name. Fred Price. Dr. Fred Price. Type in Legacy Faith. He has sermons on there that are from the late 1970s. And you want to grab those that are on faith. They will raise you to a whole nother level in what you believe. And as my wife was preaching last week, how many of you enjoyed Pastor Rhonda's message? And powerful message. Not just words from a person, but literally words lived. How many of you are excited to know that I do dishes? Come on now. I'm going to give a class on dishes. It's amazing to recognize that many of you are so loving and compassionate, and you shared with us. I wish you would have said something. I would have been there for you. And listen, you need to know, we didn't even tell our children everything. And the only ones who really knew were probably Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, my wife and I, the doctor, and Bishop. That's probably all. Other than that, not everything was divulged even to our own children. And the reason for that is, when you're going through a crisis where you have to live by faith, you have got to be careful who you share with. Now listen, this is a principle that I want you to get in your spirit, and it's not in any way, shape, or form to draw away from your faith. But what it is that when you literally, your life is laying hold of faith. That is the only way you're going to live. You can't afford sympathy. You can't afford comforting words. You can only deal with and handle faith. And so all of that, with that, we just made sure that the circle that we had was so tight that even sympathy wouldn't be allowed within that circle. And I want you to realize that there are times you're going to come there. Your faith must be strong in God. I said your faith must be strong in God. I said your faith must be strong in God. You're not listening to me. I said your faith must be strong in God. This is time to change forward. I don't know where your faith line is, where your baseline is, but this I know. I went to the doctor's one day. This is back in the, when was that? Probably the early 2000s. And I was just not, my body was not right. And I went to the doctors, and the doctor told me I had heart issues. And they put me through the stress test and all this other stuff. And they said that in your EKG, you're missing some blip or something like that. And I don't know blips. All I know is that, something just wasn't right. And I called my ma and I said, they're telling me I got a blip off. And she said, do you have your baseline? And I said, huh? She said, do you have your baseline EKG? And I remember in the early 90s, I had an EKG taken. And of course, all the records are still available. I said, why don't you go back? I said, this is the doctor. Why don't you go back and look at my initial or my baseline EKG from the 90s? And I heard back that afternoon, oh, you don't have heart issues. That's just you. You see, every one of us have a baseline that we start from. Every one of us have, because you're so different. Turn to someone and say, you are unique. Because you are unique. Not everybody's the same. But there is something that has to happen, and that is we've got to change forward. And the fact is that in our change forward, listen, I promise you this morning, I am not going to preach deep. I'm going to preach us. Amen. Let me say it again. I'm not going to preach deep this morning. I'm going to preach us this morning. Amen. And what I mean by that is this. We have to change. But change has to start somewhere. It has to start at your baseline. We cannot forget where we've come from, But each one of us started new at one point when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. You are not the same man. You are not the same woman. You are not the same individual. Because God changed you. He changed your baseline. But in change, change must start somewhere. Isaiah 43:19, our verse for the year, says this. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. That means it's going to happen quick. Will you not be aware? Which means there are many that even though God is going to start something new in your life, He's going to bring you to a new level or strive to bring you to a new level of faith, that you will not recognize the very hand of God, the voice of God, the message of God, the prompting of God, the changing of God. There are many who will not experience God's best because they are not paying attention. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Bible says, if you are aware of it, I will put a road in the wilderness. Amen. Rivers in a desert. Which means I'm going to do contrary to what makes sense. Change that begins somewhere means that what you had for sense changes. What was normal to you is now shifting. Change is not living the same. I said change is not living the same. And our challenge is we love comfort more than we love change. We love comfort more than we like to become more like Christ. We want the rivers in the desert. We want the road in the wilderness. But we don't want to get up and change. No change, no road. No change, come on now, no river. And this is where we've got to come to a conclusion in our life. All change begins somewhere. What I love about God is that God always keeps us as the apple of His eye. I love the fact that God never gives up on us. How many of you thought God should have given up on you at some point in time? All the rest are liars. Amen. How many of you really thought that God did give up on you at some point in time? Amen. All of us have been put in the position where, how many of you have sinned once? Twice. I'm talking after salvation. How many of you have sinned the same sin at least 10 times? How many of you sinned the same sin at least 50 times? How many of you have sinned the same sin at least 100 times? God has never given up on you. What I love about the mind of God is God does not think temporal like man thinks temporal. Man looks and man evaluates. Come on now. Man judges by what we see right here. But God has never looked right here. God looks and then says, this is where I know they shall be. You see, God looks at our Z. If you've been here long enough, you've heard me say that long enough. I'm not preaching deep this morning. I'm preaching us this morning. Because I don't care how many years you've been saved. I don't care how many years you know God. Change is still at the threshold of your life. And God is saying, I've got more for you. I've got a river in the desert. I've got a road in the wilderness. Will you pay attention? So many have gotten so settled at D or E or J that they will never reach their Z. And we've got to make a decision that this is not a trek where I'm just trying to get to heaven. The old church always taught that the whole thing was about going to heaven. I'm excited about heaven. I'm excited to see Jesus. But the fact is, you ain't there yet. Which means if you're not there yet, the kingdom of God is within you, and and we walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, what we're doing is living the life of God. It's called the Zoe kind of life. We're living the God kind of life. We know the verse, John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Some of us have lived so substandard in our walk with Jesus because change comes to our door, and instead of change, we latch a hold of our past. We've got to make a decision. Are we going to move forward? We've got to make a decision. Will we allow God's Z to become part of our life? But the fact is that until we change, how many of you got changed by Jesus? Amen. How many of you know that where you came from, you are glad you came from? Amen. How many of you are just plain messed up? Amen. How many of you thought that everybody else was more messed up than you and you did God a favor by coming and getting saved? The fact is, each one of us have a different background, but we all started somewhere. Could I have testimonies? Sean, we need a microphone. This is Sean Snowman. I've asked if a few people will share their testimony of where the shift came in their life, where God transitioned them, where they actually had their initial change of salvation and what God has been doing in their life. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Oh,
hello. Absolutely. Good morning.
Morning.
As a kid, my life was not perfect. We struggled. I come from a single parent home. My dad took off when I was three. So that kind of left scars. I don't know. But my mom worked as hard as she could and did the best she could. But that didn't leave much time for me. Left me running the streets at an early age. Started drinking when I was 14. That led to smoking marijuana, and then on to harder drugs. That carried on to my adult life. But I never had a problem, see, because I always went to work and took care of my family and did what I was supposed to do. At least so I thought. Turned out my life was just a total mess. I was about to lose my family and all the ones that meant the most to me. Alcohol consumed my life, and all the free time I had was spent drinking. Then Teresa started coming here, and she wanted me to come, but I was out of the bill. I had tried the church thing before, but never really had a real relationship with God. Finally come here to appease her. And I sat in this sanctuary and just had a God encounter one day. He just welcomed me back with open arms. And that day I surrendered my heart truly. That day, God took away 23 years.
Amen.
Just hurt, alcoholism, drugs. But I've been sober for 12 years. Tries to push you a little harder. Don't know if y'all know that or not. You will. I just hope this helps somebody to change. Just God will take all your
That's right.
And break them off. I just can't imagine what my life would be if it wasn't for Christ.
Change for him.
man of God. Proud of you.
Now you need to know how hard it was for him to get up here. He said no. I almost...
But the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen. The Holy Ghost said yes. Amen.
You worked on me all day.
I love you. Thank you. Amen. His change... Oh, look at his wife standing up. Come on now. Isn't it good? Isn't it good when God changes? Prayer works. Isn't it good to have a husband who doesn't love liquid more than he loves his wife? I tell you, powerful. Next one.
Well, guys, most of you know who I am, but my name's Mindy Spencer, Pastor Cody's wife. But I just want to say before this, testimonies are great, but I think a lot of times I know we work with young adults, we work with teenagers, and they look at leaders in the church and they think, well, how could they relate? Their life is perfect. And I love sharing testimonies because it shows where we've come from and that life, in fact, was not perfect, but now can be.
Yeah.
So just know... Listening to these, don't come and say, oh, their life's perfect, because what you hear is the power of God changing
yes.
people's lives.
Amen.
So my background is my parents divorced when I was really young, really messy divorce. I remember a lot of it vividly. And then kind of split. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad took us to church, so I had a little bit of a church background, but really it was... To me, it was very religious. I didn't like it. I thought God was just going to bash me over the head over everything and thought, why even serve God? Because he's just gonna knock me out for everything. So I walked away in high school, kind of followed along in the path of my mother, started drinking at a very young age, got into alcohol heavy, and then it led into, you know, all the other things that come along with that, smoking, kind of sleeping around, all that kind of stuff. But what I want to focus on is just my attitude and the rebellion and the anger that I carried from rejection and hurts throughout the course of all those decisions. I was extremely rebellious and had anger, not just anger, like I had rage. And I dealt with depression and panic attacks and anxiety, very much so, to where it would stop me in the middle of my day and I couldn't even feel like I was going to be able to continue my day because the panic attacks were so strong. And just the anger that I felt was just such a weight, like I had no escape is what I felt a lot of the times. And then those decisions and that kind of lifestyle and living in rebellion and, you know... Some of it maybe still filters out a little bit, you know. But we're working on it. But what I want you to understand is that throughout the course of these decisions and this kind of pain that I was carrying, it led into, you know, relationships that were failed. And then it finally hit into an abusive relationship, physically and sexually. And... you know, that's when it drove me back to this place. My mom had gotten set free from alcohol. My brother, Terry, started coming here, and I saw the change in their life and how God was changing them. Because I remember coming and visiting a couple times. Because I lived in North Carolina. I would come to church with them and visit and be like, oh, I'm so happy for you. This is great for you. And I'd go back home and continue living my way. But I wanted their life and their testimony and how God changed them and set them free from things drew me, and God never left me, and that's what I know I can always remember, is that in the midst of darkness, in a lot of those moments, I always felt God's presence. He never left me, and it's powerful today, because I want to tell you of the good things. It's not just about the moments where God changes your life. That's powerful. I'm so thankful. But now I get to do things that I would never think of ever being able to do. I am married to an amazing man. I have, I
have amazing children that God has blessed me with, and I get to be a part of this house and this family and reach people and see their lives changed, and I'm blessed. I haven't had a panic attack in over 10 years. The anger, God has given me so much peace and joy, and just, I don't deal with those things. Depression is not a part of my life anymore. So that's what I want to show you, is that it's not just a moment that God changes your life, but it's a continuation.
Yes.
And he just keeps on going and going and going. The opportunities that he's allowed me to participate with, they keep increasing because he's faithful and he's so good to change your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, young man.
Hi.
It's Craig Caldwell. Are you nervous?
Yeah. I got some notes, though. I should be able to remember the story, but anyway, so I don't get lost. So I was born to a good Christian family, a small town farm family. Went to a Baptist church. My family basically started the church. Two-thirds of the people on the charter have my last name.
Wow.
So I was a really good kid. Around 11, I got baptized, got saved at 5. But then at 13, I started asking questions because the stuff I was reading in the Bible about the Holy Spirit power wasn't matching up with what I was being taught. And I was told to sit down and be quiet. You're a little kid. And that made me mad, kind of like me. So for the next 3 to 4 years, you know, I was just getting madder and madder and rebelling and rebelling. Started drinking and smoking weed at 15. Really turned away from God right shortly after that. Still had to go to church because I still lived at my parents' house.
Yep.
But, I mean, I remember drinking liquor before Sunday school. It was not good. As soon as I could leave my parents' house, I did. Moved in with a couple buddies of mine, partied like crazy, got into the punk rock, heavy metal scene in Binghamton area, a lot of drugs, met a woman, was a practicing witch, we got married at 19, I was 19, she was 24, thought the witchcraft thing was nonsense at first, to be honest, but I was searching still to something that had supernatural power. And we were at a party in the woods one day, and there was a ritual that I didn't even know was a ritual at the time. And there had been a drought, and my family's farm was failing because there had been a drought. And when they finished that ritual, it started raining, and it rained all night.
Wow.
It was real to me. And so I started following that path for a little while. And I saw some really dark things, a lot of bad stuff in that. If somebody told me back then that I'd be here doing this now, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. So our marriage fell apart, and that's when the rock bottom hit. I was drinking blackout drunk for about a month, sleeping on people's couches, air mattresses, and a friend of mine from that scene kind of was like, hey, I got this thing going on, come listen to these rich dudes talk. So I did, and got to know a couple of them, and I wanted to be more like them because my life sucked.
Right.
So one day, at a meeting in my brother's house, he basically confronted me because everybody else in the room was Christians, and I didn't raise my hand. He asked who was a Christian, and I go sitting there like this. And he goes, well, I can see everybody else in your family is a Christian. Why aren't you? And I wouldn't give him nothing. And he confronted me with the gospel. He goes, you know, I don't even remember the exact words anymore, but do you believe the Bible is true? And I couldn't deny it anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I was 26 years old and destined for early death or prison or whatever. Somehow I stayed out of it by that point. God's grace, I guess.
God's grace. Saw your Z.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not there yet. But. So 10 years running from God. started going back to church, went back to my parents' church, even though I knew it wasn't where I was going to end up. It had to be a safe place.
Right.
And people there didn't know who I was. They asked my sister if I was her new boyfriend. Because I look so different from what I was when I was younger. It physically changed me. And they couldn't believe that it was Craig, and he turned his life around and come back. But I knew that wasn't where I belonged. I was trying to find the church through the power of the Bible, and I didn't know where it was.
Right.
And I ended up getting mixed up in a cult, and then I got out of that because they tried telling me Jesus wasn't actually God. And I was like, well, I don't know everything, but I know that's wrong. And then I met Nicole. And actually, when I went back to church the first time, I was in a Sunday school class talking about being a parent. I didn't have any kids at the time. And I was like, God, why are you teaching me about being a parent? And shortly after that, he told me, you are going to be a father to the fatherless.
Whoa!
And when I was younger, I didn't even want to be. Me and my first wife didn't want kids at all. So it was a big deal, and it was shocking at first. But now I have four kids, and God's blessed us.
Amen.
We just keep moving forward, doing what God says. I remember 10 years ago, we were in a pastor's office basically begging for money because her boss didn't pay her last paycheck. And he just said, we can help when we can with groceries and food, but, you guys need to follow the principles. And we did. And, we got out of debt. We bought our first house a couple years ago. The business that was born out of my wife losing that job now has 7 employees.
Amen.
And also supports our house.
That is stinking awesome.
And, I have my own business, and, our kids are succeeding. And it's just a beautiful thing. You just got to keep changing forward.
Amen. Love you, man. Thank you. Yeah. I love him, Father. Man of God. Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
But what I love about this, not one story is the same. See, your story is your story. That's why I'm not preaching deep. I'm preaching us. Because where you are, where you came from, nobody else has. But yet, when God changes you. Are you nervous? A little bit?
Morning.
Good morning.
I had a good upbringing. I didn't go to church or anything like that, but my family was whole. We went to school, we went to breakfast every Sunday morning. Like, I didn't have a broken home.
Right.
But at the age of 19, well, 18, I went off to college, and 19, I followed my own way. I had my first son at the age of 19, single mom. 3 years later, I had my next son. A year, 14 months later, I had my next son. I've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship, just to fill a void that I didn't know was there.
Right.
I didn't know, I knew about God, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't have a relationship with him. So I was trying to fill all of that void with those relationships. I would not change my boys for the world. I wouldn't change any of that. 4 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. In that 4 years, we've seen struggles, but we've seen the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
I worked the same job for 16 and a half years. I made 6 figures a year. I had the best house. I had the best car. But God said, all you want is power.
Ooh.
All you want is success. And all you want is money. So 2 years ago, that all changed.
Mm.
My income was half, but God still provided.
Yes.
You said earlier about being obedient. The Lord told me during one service to cede my mortgage payment.
Oof.
And I was like, I can't do that. I have four kids. I have a house. Like, I have to put food on the table. But I gave it. 2 weeks later, he showed up with all of the money to pay off $30,000 in debt in my car, $5,000 debt in my credit cards, and paid for all of Nathan's college where he only has one semester left. So God is faithful.
Yeah.
You know, even in the wilderness, even while we're looking for the roads, we're looking for the streams, he's there.
Yeah.
When Pastor messaged me on Friday night, literally it was the same time I got hit with another battle that I have to deal with. And he said, would you give your testimony? And I was like, just before that, I said, God, why? Why do I have to struggle? Why do I have to fight for my kids? This is why.
Yeah, this is why.
I was ready to give up. I was ready to walk away from Bible college. I was ready to quit and leave. But these three people sitting up here, Pastor Palko, Pastor Obi, and Tara, walked me through it.
Yes.
And I will see the victory.
Yes. Come on now.
You know, I just see where Jesus has taken me in the last year and a half. I mean, I've had prophetic dreams that I've talked to Pastor Andre about, words that I've given to Pastor that I'm like, I don't know, God told me to tell you this. So I taught Rock Solid Faith last Thursday.
Like, wow.
I'm going to start teaching in women's Bible ministry on Thursday night. So the doors are opening.
That's right.
Just stand, be obedient.
Yeah.
Be faithful and know that he's going to show up.
Amen.
And to my boys, they're all here. They're all serving. So I'm breaking those generational curses with them.
Amen. My girl, I love you. You don't mind this, do you? There's nothing better than hearing what God's changed. Come on, Josh. This man has a great beard, doesn't he? I pull that beard. He says, that hurts, Pastor. I said, so I pull it again.
I don't trust him. He's going to pull it again. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Josh. And I liked to party a lot. And to save you guys the whole afternoon, I'm just going to jump until I was 29. I've been drinking, drugging, partying for about 15 years now. And one night I went out day drinking with some friends. Then we decided to go night drinking on top of that. Went to a bar. I got in a fight. Cops came. I fought the cops. I lost because they're cops. I spent a night in jail, and that didn't even faze me. I got out the next day, went right back to drinking. Went about living my life of partying and just acting a fool. And 5 months later, it didn't take long. I got arrested again, this time for a DWI. So that's two alcohol-related arrests in 5 months. It's a lot of jail time, a lot of lawyer fees. So at this point now, I'm like, all right, I need to start making some changes. So I said to myself.
Self?
Self. I need to make a change. I think what I need is I need God. I knew of God. My mom had us in church when I was young. When she was sober, there was a point in time in my life where I was in church, so I knew of God. And literally 3 days later, after I had that talk with myself, a friend who went to his tabernacle invited me to church. And I was like, well, why not? And when I tell you guys that I was the only one in this sanctuary that morning, and Pastor was preaching a message solely to me, it's the truth. It was meant for me. And I was in tears, and I came running up to the aisle when he did his altar call, and I gave my life to God.
Amen.
I asked God into my heart. And everything was great. I had immediate peace and love and joy and comfort in my life. And It went well for a little while. I didn't drink anymore for a little bit, but the devil is sneaky, and he snuck right into my mind, and he said, you know, you don't have to get drunk. You can still drink. And I'm like, you know what? You're right, devil. You're right. I wanted to have my tater tots and eat them too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I started drinking again. I was saved. I was in church every Sunday. I was a uproar youth leader to little seventh graders, still drinking, coming to church, living my life, thinking everything was going to be okay. I was like, I got God on my side. I can't get in trouble anymore, right? Wrong. August 14th, 2018, I just gotten married to my beautiful wife. Hey. Hi. We just bought a house. We... We went on a honeymoon to Bermuda. I mean, we spent some money in like 3 months. And I stayed home one day from work because I wanted to drink. I wanted to have some wine, right? I drank a lot of wine that day. And then I decided to get in my head, I want to go get my wife some donuts. I don't know why, but I got behind the wheel of my car again to get my wife some donuts. And I crashed my brand new BMW into like a Dodge Dart or something. And I got my second DWI. I am now a felon. I am on probation. My car in the parking lot is a piece of junk, and it has a breathalyzer in it. But you know what? God is good, and that was the best day of my life because I had a choice to make. And for a couple weeks there, I made the wrong choice, and I slipped into depression, and I hated myself. I could not live with myself, what I had done. And then one day, the Holy Spirit, because he's still inside of me, mind you, I'm saved, right? Yep. He was not happy with me at all because he had to live through all that sin. He's not happy with me, but he spoke to me one day at work, and he said, go home and call out to God. And that's what I did. And I went home that day after work, and I fell down on my face before God, and I said, God, where are you? And he said, son, I am right here, and I am waiting for you to submit your life to me. Oof. And my mind exploded. Because see, here's the thing. I was saved, but I wasn't submitted.
Whoa.
See, I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again, but I didn't believe he was Lord over my life. And I'm telling you, when I made that decision that day to make Jesus Lord over my life, everything changed. Yeah. I have not drank since that day.
Amen.
It's been almost 3 years sober. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. The generational curse of alcohol addiction in my family is broken. So when my wife and I have kids, they don't have to go through what I went through. I am in Bible college.
Amen.
My wife and I just bought a second home.
Amen.
Everything is amazing. Life is amazing, and it's because I submitted my life to God.
Amen.
Fully, 100%, gave it all to him. No more playing games. No more sitting on that fence. So I'm telling you, I know there's somebody out there right now who's online, sitting out there. You're probably the only one in the sanctuary right now like I was. I'm telling you, if you don't, you skip the games and just submit your life to God right now.
Amen.
Watch him work. I promise you.
Amen. I love you. Hallelujah. Did you notice? He got saved, changed. But he didn't keep moving forward. When you don't keep moving forward, you go backward. And when he made his second change, that's when everything shifted. Brother Chris. I love you, brother.
Hello. So I'm going to need you to bear with me.
Yeah, Jesus.
So I was an alcoholic and a drug addict and just an all-around lowlife. And I met Mindy's mom a while ago, almost 13 years ago. And this woman hounded me and hounded me and hounded me to come to church. And it got to be, I would see her and I would run from her. And then one day she cornered me. And so I just gave up and I said, I will, if I go with you one time, will you just leave me alone? And she said, no, you have to go three times. You remember that?
I do.
So I came here for a while, and Pastor had said to me one day out in the foyer that, Christian, I can't wait till next Sunday. We're going to lay hands on everybody, and you're going to like that. And I'm thinking, buddy, you lay hands on me, and we're going around. And I didn't come back for a couple of months. And then I did come back, and I would always sit in the way back. So as soon as he was done, I could be the first one out the door. And I would never raise my hand for salvation because I wasn't weak. I was too strong for that. I didn't need that. Yeah. And then I saw my wife, who she wasn't my wife yet, and I got to be honest with you, that's what kept me coming back.
That's all right. That's okay.
For a long time, that's what kept me coming back. And I can remember I sat way back there in the corner, and you said, I'm not going to wait long. And you got to five, and I raised my hand. And you never saw it. And afterwards, Ed and Shirley, they both
got you.
They got me. And they said, oh, you come back with us in this room. And I said, no, I'm good. So I left. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's been a long week.
Been a long week.
And so 4 years ago, I took Jesus to jail with me. And because the only difference between you and I is commitment. That's the difference. I mean, I'm better looking than you.
And Jody said, "Amen."
But I had to change, and I still wasn't completely invested until you.
Yeah.
A week ago, Saturday, I got a call from my ex-wife that said that my daughter Tori had open heart surgery the Monday before, and she's unresponsive, and she's in Rochester. So I didn't want to take Jesus to jail again, so I stayed home, and I came to church, and I can remember saying to my wife, you know, there's something to service tomorrow because it just keeps coming at me. So I'm going to go first. And I sat there and I bawled the whole time. And your testimony is changing my testimony. And let me tell you what my Jesus is doing with that drug addict. My Jesus is, these doctors are telling me things, they're bringing me these reports, and I'm using them for prayer sheets because I don't know the human body. I am laying hands on that child, and every single day we are seeing seeing miracles left and right, and we my Jesus is awesome. And if you don't know him and you aren't committed to him, well, you got to get going.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Each one different, but each one had one similar experience. They met Jesus. There's a man named Saul who his whole job was to, he hated Christians so desperately, he held the clothes while they were stoning Stephen. He was so disgusted with Christianity and these people of God that he got a letter that gave him the right to go to Damascus to go persecute, grab anybody who called themselves Christians, beat them, and put them in jail. But something happened to his life. Change happened. He met Jesus. Some of you have met Jesus, and there's been change. But then you heard, there's another change to make. Not just Savior, but Lord. Chris said something to me once when he got saved. He said, anybody bothers you, you let me know. I'll take care of them. You know, there are people who have said that in the past. And, you know, when Chris said, I went, oh. Because I know he could do it. And I knew he probably would. So I never told him some things. Where are you? God's looking at your Z. Have you stopped at D? Are you good with Q? See, it's not that you got to compare yourself to anybody else, because your adventure, your journey is different from anybody else's, but yet it's all the same trail. Narrow is the way. My question is, are you on the way? Or are you on the Broadway? They have great shows on Broadway, but the neat part about the shows is they're all fake. A question, where are you today? You know, it's amazing when we offer people salvation and we tell them to raise their hand and then will they come forth? The initial experience that people feel inside is, I feel embarrassed. I feel like, oh my goodness, people are going to look at me. Are you kidding? Anybody who's truly been changed isn't looking at you like, what? They're looking at you like, yay! We know the change that's going to happen. We know the transformation that's going to occur. And then as pastors, as we're teaching and training, and we are a teaching and training church because we are relentless in pushing you forward, that when you make that next commitment of layer, I was talking to one of the gentlemen that this week that I was sending out devotions to, and it was, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. And I got the text back that said, I had just been asking for that. I know I bursted three buttons, and not because I'm fatter, because I was just so proud that he was moving forward. Where are you? Where are you? Bow your heads with me this morning. I didn't even touch the rest of the sermon. I got a whole nother part. And just before that, I want to invite, if I could get me a mask, if I could have the Girardis come up. These two people have been an enormous part of my life. How many years now, Bruce? 2003. Bruce has been working on the SWAT team. They're the ones who create all of the examples that we do. I'm talking like untold amount of hours and hours and hours of labor and work. If you were here when we did the heaven scene, where this whole altar was filled with white and blue balloons. It looked like heaven. They were here till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you and Dan Flatt. And you know, I'm one of these greedy pastors. I am a very greedy pastor. I just let that set a little because I know people's heads. I want the best, and I hate sharing. I'm not a good sharer. And all of a sudden, I heard that they're moving, and I'm jealous. I visit, but man, that's not the same. And I just want you to know how much we love you. You are family, and you have been family. Dark times, high times, work times. We love you, and we're going to miss you, and we honor you. And always know this is home. You can visit other places, but it's always home.
Visiting only.
I am sending my helicopter down each week to pick you up. I don't know. Maybe one of the jets instead. If you all you need to do is get over to the near airport, one of the jets will pick you up. We have two of them. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Two jets and one helicopter. Glory to God. Or the Lamborghini.
You got one of those?
I do, but that would take a long time still.
Blue.
Ooh, match your shirt. Oh, I love golf clubs. I'm going to pray with you. And I'm doing this only because I know they're watching online. I don't want to, I almost said something. I don't want a mask between me. I'm sorry. You guys don't mind. If you want to wear a mask, you can. I've just got to pray for you. You're my family.
You are always family.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as they step into the next portion of life, we release the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go with them strong, God. Lead them clearly, God. And Father, we ask that they will never retract, but only change forward for your kingdom.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you. Give me the address.
I already have it. I have it. I do. I already have your address. I do want you to know there is an opening for the SWAT team. We have something very special here, folks. And I know that some of you are still guests and you've been here a decade. We have something very special here. We do have a family. No matter what size this church gets, and it will be thousands, this will never be lost because this is part of the fabric. We love you, and you're important. I don't know where you are with God, but it's time to change forward. Change forward. Change forward. It's time to change forward. Some of you have been dragging your feet. You love the world more than you love God, and God's speaking to you now. Change forward. Don't stop at R. Get your Z. Amen. Bow your heads one last time. If anybody here does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I only have you bow your head simply for introspect. I think a lot of times we're worried about what other people think. You can't stand before the judgment seat of God with anybody but you. So this makes you say, am I right? Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, or you're living a life that you know that is not right, and there's a sin between you and God, and you want to get it right, you want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that that initial change happens so strong that you'll never turn back. Today, if you would like Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life? I'm not going to wait long. Amen. Thank you. 5.
Come on. Four. Chris, I saw her hand on five. Three. Thank you. In the back. Two. Last call. Thank you. Remember, you're choosing change even if you're not making a change out loud. Where will you change? Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm sorry, my love. I will, love. I just love you. This is Mindy. She gave her testimony earlier. When you get your life right with God, we don't want you just to start this. We want you to finish this. Amen. And like Josh says, you don't want to take Jesus to jail with you. So it's finishing strong. If you raise your hand for salvation or maybe didn't, right when we dismiss, if you'll make your way up to Mindy right here. The reason we're doing that is social distancing factors. I'm about done. To be honest with you, I'm about done. I do want to remind you that we are honoring, that's what we're doing, by Supreme Court ruling, there are no restrictions on anything for church. We're still doing this out of honor. But at some point in time, this has got to end. So y'all either got to get your shots or do whatever you got to do. We just got to move on. It's time to move on. Amen? I said it's time to move on. Amen. So here she is. She's right here. Wave at the Mindy. Amen. This is what I'd like you to do this week. You heard these people share their change forward, their salvation change. I want you to share with somebody this week, who you know does not know God. Be like Kim, who nagged Chris into the house of God. Share your testimony with them. Listen, they cannot like church, but they can't deny your testimony. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak blessing over this house for the glory of heaven. I declare, God, there's no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. I declare the very covenant of heaven over the house. That, Lord God, we will not be destroyed by sin, but we'll follow you all the days of our lives. And when we see you face to face, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God, I thank you that no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no gross, no spirits of infirmity are allowed on our bodies. We take authority over them in your name. And we declare, God, that we will prosper in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Lord, this is your church. We are your people. And we are relentless. We refuse, oh God, put a spirit within us that is refusing to stand still. You're coming soon. The trumpet of God could happen before I'm done praying. But Jesus, if it doesn't, make us the greatest harvesters you have ever seen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's welcome Pastor Rhonda.
We just don't want to dismiss without making our supernatural declaration over our finances. The Word of God tells us that we are to tithe. In Malachi, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. It just means 10% of what we bring in. And then again in Matthew, Jesus says, you tithe, this you ought to do. And just as many spoke about making him Lord, when we make him Lord in our finances, it changes our finances from natural to supernatural. And there is no better place for our money than in the supernatural hands of Almighty God, who will make a way where there is no other way. He will feed us with ravens if he has to. He'll put waters in the desert places. He will bring blessing and prosperity. It says he takes pleasure when his children prosper. that actually pleases God when we prosper. So let's get a part of his economic finance program, Kingdom Finances, and watch God prosper you in everything that you touch. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. These aren't just mere words. Don't just speak them as a repetitious thing. I know we say them every week, but it's not just repetitious. We are declaring, prophesying over our money the word of God found in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God.